I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Okay,
yeah,
so
we'll see who can handle Amon St. Ra. That challenge comes in a few weeks.
Amon Ra St. Ra, the sun god, is
on a tear that I can't remember a wide receiver going on right now.
Well, it's the best in history. I mean,
so there's three receivers who have done what he's done. Over the last eight games, he's had 8+ receptions in each game. There's only three receivers on that list who have done that. It's him, Antonio Brown, and Michael Thomas. That's it. That's the list.
But when you add in touchdowns, he's...
I believe it's him and Antonio Brown, and that's it.
Yeah, he's doing historic things with, yes, we do need to mention, with
Goff. Jared Goff.
Jared Goff, because I am a Jared Goff hater. I think the guy stinks. He took that fake sack in the Super Bowl when Kyle Van Noy buzzed his tower and he fell to his knees like a little bitch. I was done with him, but he's throwing the ball to this record-setting receiver.
So he's like a jugs machine. He's not going to move around that well. He's not that smart. He may even have the intelligence of a jugs machine.
But
a jugs machine can make the throws, and that's all he needs to do.
Doing the job. Another positive I wanted to touch on, because I'm kind of actually on Shime's side here with the corners. Like, I'm interested to see where that goes. But I think there's been a development that you saw the evolution of Jabril Peppers. I thought he had a couple plays on Sunday, big hits, like where he was active. You needed it, actually, because Kyle Duggar was actually out with an injury at the time. Mm-hmm. Jabril Peppers, we've talked about the safety depth and that has to be sort of the core of the back end. As he evolves here with Adrian Phillips, who looks like you kind of avoided a scare there with that injury from week one. He was back out there in week two. But I think Jabril Peppers feels like he's picking up momentum. And I don't know whether it's physical, that he's hitting his stride physically coming off the knee injury, or he's just getting comfortable in the defense. But I think Jabril Peppers is going to be a playmaker for this back end.
Yes, and a small critique, if I may, and I think we can all agree with this. It is time to end the Miles Bryant experiment, not in the secondary, because he's actually done decent work as a slot corner. No. It is time to end Miles Bryant punt returner. Let us get Marcus Jones back there. Let's get him active.
We need
somebody who doesn't catch the ball going backwards at the three, fumble it into the end zone, and give the other team 1, 2, 3 opportunities to recover it in the end zone for 7, and not pull an Olszewski, if you will. Oh, Gunner, we feel for the
quick side note.
I would like the dynamic approach. We need some dynamic. We've been talking about playmakers. Marcus Jones.
He's been dynamic when he had the ball. He's returned the ball well when he catches it. He just didn't catch it that time, and he made a terrible decision.
How lucky, by the way, were they?
According to Cam Accord, that was never going. There was really no point where that was ever going to be a touchdown. The impetus of the ball carried itself into the end zone. So even on the muff, if the Steelers recover, it's still just a touchback. As long as Miles Bryant doesn't, A, bat it out the back of the end zone, that's a penalty and a safety, or pick it up, get possession, run around again, and then fumble a second time. So even though our hearts kind of dropped a couple times,
if he had muffed it off the face and it came into the field of play, though, and the Steelers recover it, they get it at the 1 yard line or wherever they recover it, correct?
Yeah. But the muff momentum Muff momentum.
Yes.
We all love Muff momentum in our lives. The Muff momentum carried it into the end zone, so therefore it would have been a touchback.
Correct. But as he's running backwards, he's still in the field of play. If he had kicked that into the field of play or something like that, there were more ways that it also could have gone bad or worse. Play. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, Cam Accord's trying to put a Band-Aid on it, but like there were also more ways that it could have also gone worse, not just alternate ways where it could
easiest
could be okay.
Way to make sure that we prevent that is just okay. Play Marcus Jones. That's
bingo.
It.
Or he can just not run that far backwards over his shoulder and try to make a stupid play.
Also just true. Just fair catch and let it bounce.
Or just let it bounce.
Just get the hell away from there. Poison. Get out of the way. Everybody get the hell away from it, including me. But yes, the bigger picture, Marcus Jones, you drafted a third round, two-time All-American returner who I know it's different from college to pros, but he's experienced. He knows what
it's
he's doing.
That, it's not that different. The return game is the return game.
No, it's like a ball in the air. Catch it.
Once he catches it, it all comes down to athleticism and vision. And that's it.
I think you'll see him this week would be my guess.
I agree. I think you need more dynamics. You need explosive plays. Miles Bryant, probably not going to provide them. Although, nice little return on Sunday for Kyle Duggar. It's one of the top kickoff returns in the NFL to the date.
So the one other thing I wanted to touch on before we wrap up this Victory Week edition of the Six Rings podcast was something that I know a lot of people, Phil Perry, NBC Sports Boston, and others have been kind of harping on, fixating on, extrapolating from, was some changes to the Patriots sideline. They really fixated on Bill Belichick being very active with the offensive players, the offensive coaches, Mac Jones, basically turning his back on the defense and letting the defense, Steve Belichick, Gerard Mayo, and those guys do their thing. I know there were some other changes. Billy Yates was on the field in the first half. He had been in the press box in the first half. That maybe allowed Matt Patricia to maybe be a little more involved with the quarterback skill position player adjustments, talking with Bill. What do you make of maybe Bill taking a more hands-on approach in week two and as we evolve here? Is that just the natural course of things, or is that a early season panic type move?
No, I think that was to be expected. I mean, we kind of talked about it that at some point he would probably step in and assist more with the offense because, again, Matt Patricia hasn't done this before. So I don't necessarily think that it is by any means the panic button. I think the panic button is when you see Belichick with the play sheet calling plays. That, to me, is the panic button, which we haven't gotten to yet. Nope. We're not there. That is not what happened. This was him just conferring with the offense a lot more and a lot more frequently, which I think is fine. He knows that his defense is in better hands right now than his offense, and so he needs to help his offense. And I think that as the head coach of the football team is the responsible thing to do.
This is his design, his want, his wish. He brought them in, so he best be there to shepherd and supervise as they learn on the fly, on the job. And I think it was probably Matt Patricia who was calling a lot of those plays late game, which ended up working out. Conservative as the drive may have been, that 4 to 6 minute offense at the end closed out things nicely for the Patriots. I do not see Bill Belichick having his hand not just in the offensive cookie jar, but elbow deep in it at times to be a positive because then again, like I said, this is his design and his idea.
Right. And his responsibility. So when it goes well, I guess we praise him. And when it goes poorly, we blame him. He at least told us that much, right? Blame him if this Bingo. Doesn't work. But for 1 week, it worked. They got a victory. And they got some help from the Pittsburgh Steelers. Certainly, old friend or plant or whatever you want to call him, Gunnar Olszewski, gave you a muffed punt to give Damian Harris an easy touchdown. And they got the big play this week at the end of the half on a play so impressive that even Chris Scheim liked it. Like, I think we need to note that for a minute. A play so impressive that I believe what Chris Scheim said at the beginning of the podcast was, Nelson Aguilar is worth the contract they gave him. That's how impressive that play was.
I said he could be. Let's just add a little air of negativity to that because I think that's too positive. Bad throw by Mac Jones. Amazing play by Nelson Aguilar.
Yeah, I specifically stayed away from Mac Jones as we wrap this up because I didn't want to go down a road of negativity, but I think it's quite clear. Mac Jones is probably not off to the start of the year that he'd like to have. Even though the record is 1-1, and I'm sure he took a little sigh of relief coming to the podium after a victory rather than skipping the podium while he was getting x-rays, as was the case a week earlier. But I think we're going to leave our assessments of Mac Jones, Scheim, for the coming weeks. We'll see. Give him a month. Give him six weeks. The new offense. Well, see where it goes.
To be fair, when I was giving my negative, I said a lot of this isn't his fault. So I agree with you. I think his evaluation should wait till week four, week five, week six.
Yeah, he didn't exactly look great. Didn't look great, though, when he on the one replay that kind of circulated Monday night around the interwebs where little Jordan Humphrey came not just very kind of, but super incredibly open on a play, and Max stared down Jacoby. Some people said he probably couldn't see him from the pocket that was slowly collapsing. I just think Mac is locking onto his guys or his comfort blankets a little too much, and he's going to have to wait things out and trust both process and pocket in order for the Patriots to be a little more explosive going forward. Tis a learning curve indeed.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a reason the Patriots are last in EPA per play on early downs right now. And that's, but again, there is some room for, I'm trying to be level-headed today and not be super Mr. Negative Cloud. There is some room for an opportunity for growth here. I would say this, I have more faith in Mac Jones to fix himself and get him back to kind of where he was going than I do in the play calling of Matt Patricia. So to Mac's credit, I think he deserves a little bit more leeway when it comes to being like, oh man, he stinks this year.
100%. And I'll just for the little Jordan Humphrey play, I've seen Tom Brady do that. I've seen Peyton Manning do that. Quarterbacks miss wide open receivers, even the greatest of the great. My one concern as we move forward is watching Mac's accuracy. I don't think he's been accurate enough. And I think the interception of Minka Fitzpatrick was an inaccurate throw.
I mean, look at this throw to Cam Sutton that didn't end up being an interception.
Well, that was horrific.
That was very accurate.
He hit Pittsburgh right between the numbers.
A buddy texted me and was like, why is he making that throw? Like, he needs to set himself. I go, trust me. I think there's a lot of quarterbacks in football, Mac included, and this is a bigger group than just him, that need to stop rolling left and throwing. There's only like four guys in football that can make that throw. One in particular that can definitely make that throw, and Patrick Mahomes, because he's a freak. And then maybe a couple other guys that can relatively consistently Josh make Allen. That throw. Yeah, those guys who are good at the sidearm shortstop angles, guys like Mac, guys like Russell Wilson, there's a large group of them that are not good rolling left, and we kind of need to try and deter that as much as possible, because those mistakes lead to bad decisions.
And since Sunday was so wild and so many teams that we thought were going to win that we have tagged as potential playoff stalwarts, shoe-ins, or juggernauts took some L's, including the Cincinnati Bengals, and what a brutal loss that was with their terrible offensive line play, which it shouldn't be, because they spent all that money getting two coveted guards and a high priced tackle in the offseason. A win on Sunday for the Patriots, and it could potentially be a different conversation, and maybe the growth curve will accelerate a little bit more for the positive. But again, we'll save that for the preview pod.
That is what's up next on the Six Rings podcast feed. Later this week, we will look at the challenge that is Lamar Jackson and Rashad Bateman, John Harbaugh, the rest of the Ravens, which, as we know, has been a great rivalry with some very fun games over the year. And it's also the home opener at Gillette Stadium. And what a home opener it is to welcome Lamar Jackson to town. But that's our podcast later in the week. Today, we recapped, relived, and brought some positives that maybe will lead to more positives in the future from the Patriots' 17-14 win over the Pittsburgh Steelers. For Nick Fitzy Stevens and Chris Scheim time. He was actually positive for a little bit this week. Scheim, I'm Andy Hart. That puts the wraps on a Six Rings Pod. You want to get in touch at Six Rings Pod on Twitter or email us sixringspod@gmail.com. See you.
Bye. Yeah.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.